The expression fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Revelation 18 verse 2 is right out of Isaiah 21 verse 9, describing literal Babylon. Babylon not seeing, she will not see widowhood. Revelation 18 verse 7 is right out of Isaiah 47, describing literal Babylon. Now, this woman is bedecked with purple and gold. And what do people say? That's the Roman Catholic priests in their garb. Purple and gold. But you don't have to go there. Because what was Daniel clothed with in Daniel 5 when he interpreted the handwriting on the wall? Belshazzar gave him a robe of what? Purple and gold. Purple and gold is not talking about Rome. Purple and gold is talking about the literal city of Babylon. Revelation 18 verse 23 talks about how she is a city of sorcery. That's exactly how Isaiah 47 describes the literal city of Babylon. There's no reason to not take Babylon for Babylon. So it's what I'm trying to get at. And yet people are very confused on this. So this takes us to the sixth stop on the bus, or the bus ride. These are the inadequate theories that have been set forth to identify Babylon. All of these theories have two things in common. Number one, they will not interpret the name Babylon literally. And number two, they come up with some kind of identification of a city that never was the mother of all harlotry. Only one city on planet Earth qualifies as the mother of all harlotry, and that's which city? The Tower of Babel. So people ignore, they come up with an explanation where Babylon doesn't mean Babylon. And they come up with some city or system that's a daughter harlot and not the mother harlot. So here are the different views. A lot of people out there will say that Babylon, you know, it's not a literal city. It's just a religious system. That's all it is. Look at Revelation 17 verse 18. And you tell me if Babylon is a literal city or not. The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. This woman looks like she represents a city to me. Revelation 18 verse 10 says, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe, the great city Babylon. The strong what? City. What is Babylon in the end times? Is it a city or is it a system? My answer is yes. It's a city that is the headquarters of a system. It's like when we use the word Hollywood. What are we talking about with Hollywood? We're talking about all the bad stuff and moral filth that comes out of Hollywood in the media. But did you know you can go to Hollywood Boulevard? It's a literal city with a city council. We use the word Wall Street. What are we talking about? We're talking about a financial system, but there's also an actual Wall Street, which is the headquarters of that system. We talk about the religion of Rome. The religion of Rome, Roman Catholicism, is a city, or a system rather, but there's an actual city, isn't there? Vatican City. That's what Babylon is in the end times. Yes, it's a system, but it's located in an actual city. And when you go back and you study the Tower of Babel, that's exactly what Nimrod was constructing. He was constructing a city, a literal city, which was the headquarters of the mother-child cult. So I don't think it's acceptable for people to say, well, Babylon is just a religious city, a system, when the Bible tells us over and over again that you're dealing with a city. A city that has to be rebuilt. It has to become prominent in the end times so it can be destroyed exactly like God said she's supposed to be destroyed, going back to prophecies in Isaiah, Zechariah, Jeremiah, and so forth. Probably the worst interpretation out here on this is Babylon is the city of Jerusalem. This is the doctrine that the preterists are promoting. And what they say over and over again is she's called a harlot. Well, Jerusalem is called a harlot in the Old Testament, Ezekiel 16, Ezekiel 23, other places. So therefore, this harlot must be some kind of code word for Jerusalem. Can't God call Gentile cities harlots? He called Tyre a harlot, Isaiah 23:17. He called Nineveh a harlot, Nahum 3:4. So harlotry in and of itself does not disqualify this city from being a Gentile city. Probably the view you've all heard is this is Rome, right? Everybody's been influenced by Dave Hunt. I love Dave Hunt's stuff, but he wrote a book called A Woman Rides the Beast. And the point of his book is this: Revelation 17 is the Roman Catholic Church. It's a great book on Roman Catholicism. But I think his eschatology is confused on this. So what Dave Hunt, and by the way, this did not originate with Dave Hunt. You know where this originated with? The Protestant reformers. Martin Luther figured out really early that if in his sermons you called the Roman Catholic Church the harlot, that'll preach. People like to hear that. So what people are arguing is this city is not in the east, Mesopotamia, but it's in the west, it's Rome. And the argument that they use over and over and over again is the seven hills of Rome. Don't they use that? Revelation 17, verses 9 and 10 says, "Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits." And I say, that's the seven hills of Rome. But notice verse 10. What do the seven mountains or hills represent? They are seven what? Kings. In the Bible, kings and kingdoms are synonymous. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, "You, O king, are the king of kings, to whom the kingdom has been given. You are the head of gold." So he called him a king, ruler of a kingdom. The two phrases are used synonymously. So when John says the seven mountains are seven kings, he's using that as a synonym for kingdoms, and he's talking about seven empires that have been influenced by the mother-child cult. Those would be Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then the Antichrist system of the future. I generally want to take the Bible literally whenever I can, except when it tells me that the mountains represent something else. We're told very clearly here that the seven mountains are not to be understood literally. They are meant to be understood as seven kings or kingdoms. The seven mountains, when you study the Bible very carefully, are not connected with the woman who's riding the beast. They're connected with the who? The beast. Revelation 17 verse 3 says, "He carried me away in the spirit and into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, blasphemous names, having seven heads." Those are the seven mountains. What you have in Revelation 17 is not one image, but two. You have the beast, and then you have the woman named Babylon. The mystery is how the two interact and how the beast overthrows Babylon. So you'll notice that the seven mountains, seven heads, seven kings are not even connected to the woman named Babylon. They're connected to the other image named the beast. You can't make both images Rome. How can Rome destroy Rome? That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. One image must represent the Antichrist, another image, Babylon, which will be rebuilt in the end times. And Revelation 17 is giving the mystery how the two interact. But wait a minute, someone will ask, what about 1 Peter 5, verse 13? What does Peter say? "She who is from what? Babylon, chosen together with you, sends her greetings, and so does my son Mark." And people think, well, Peter obviously is using Babylon as a code, because we all know that Peter was really in Rome, not Babylon, when he wrote that. So this becomes the basis for this idea that Babylon is really some kind of code for Rome. Peter was not in Babylon. Many people say he was actually in Rome. So when he uses the word Babylon, he's using a code for Rome. So John is doing the same thing.